The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Today, I want to talk about kind of an introduction, basically. Why on earth are we here? And I want to answer three of life's greatest questions. The first of those is the question of existence. Why am I alive? The second is a question of significance. Does my life make any difference? And the third is a question of intention. What is my purpose? What is my specific purpose for being in this world? And we turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and begin reading there with verse 3 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, and to the praise of the glory of His grace, for which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved, that is, in Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, and He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the kind intentions which He purposed in Him. Understand, hear what Paul is writing to the Corinthians. God had a purpose in what He was doing. And when He chose us, it was in accordance to that purpose and that will. When He sent Jesus into the world to die for us, it was according to His purpose and to His will. He was accomplishing what He chose to accomplish. God, and folks, just as a bottom line, you lay it out, it is about God. Our purposes are related to God. Our purposes are related to what God is doing. Our purpose is related to God's will for our lives. And we cannot separate, if we're ever going to discover what our purpose is in this world, we can never separate it from what God is doing and from what God purposed. And in Proverbs chapter 16, one verse of scripture there that reminds us, verse 4, said, "The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You are a wonderful and great and marvelous God. And we're grateful for what we've seen happen in the lives of people over the last few weeks. And we are grateful for what we saw last night with people coming to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And we pray that these people will begin to understand the depth of the decision they've made and the importance of that decision, and that they will follow through. And that You'll enable us to know how to help them. But as a church and as individuals today, we ask that You would open our minds and our hearts, that we would understand what You will for us and what You desire for us. And that You'd help us to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that is our relationship with You alone that is going to determine the reason for our existence and our purpose and our significance in this world. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. It's not exactly a new question. It's probably been asked thousands of times. Isaiah asked it, Jeremiah asked it in Jeremiah 20:18. He said, "Why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow and to end my life in grace?" I can remember on one occasion when my sister was really depressed. And, she was upset about some things that were going on. Her life was filled with trouble. And she said, "I don't even know why I was born. I would just wish I hadn't have been born." You know, sometimes there's you know, there's those moments when we get to that place, our life is filled with so much trouble and we don't know where that we're going, don't know what the answer is. And we want to ask like Jeremiah asked, am I just born in order to have a lot of problems and just to live in this world filled with difficulties and problems that are going on in this world? Or is there really some kind of reason for me being here? So the question of existence, why are we alive? What is our purpose? A guy by the name of Dr. Hugh Moorhead, was chairman of the Department of Physiology at Northeastern University. He wrote to 250 well-known philosophers, scientists, and writers, intellects of the world, who had made a name for themselves in the world, in their field. And he asked them the question, what is the purpose of life? He published their responses in a book, and it was quite discouraging and depressing. For some of them just offered their best guesses. Some admitted that they made up a purpose of life. And some admitted they didn't have any idea what the purpose of life was, and asked if Dr. Moorhead discovered, would he share it with them? Carl Jung, who's a famous psychiatrist, said, I don't know the meaning of life, the purpose of life, but it looks as if something was meant by it. Isaac Asimov, which is a Russian, said, as far as I can see, there is no purpose. Joseph Taylor said, I have no answers to the meaning of life and no longer want to search for any. Well, those are tragic statements, because life without a purpose is not worth living. I don't think it's any coincidence that the suicide rate is so high in America when people don't know why we're living, why when we don't understand the purpose of life, why it's so easy to murder millions of babies before they're born in our world today and don't seem to have any regret and stand and fight for immoralities, when we don't understand why we're here anyway, you know, we just want to do what we feel like doing for the moment. See, if you take God out of the equation, you don't really have many alternatives as far as knowing what life is about. Without God, how do you discover your purpose? We can try all different kinds of approaches the world does. There's the mystical approach. That's basically the New Age idea. And they call it New Age, but it's been around a long time, you know. A couple of thousand years before Christ was born, you know. And the mystic says, well, look within and find the purposes within. You know, if that really worked, all of us would know our purpose. You know, I know we've tried that. But folks, I'm telling you, we don't find it in our own self. And I don't care much for Oprah Winfrey, but I didn't see the show, but I read about her show. She had a show on discovering the purpose of life one time before she quit doing her show. And she announced and put it on television and everything, we're going to show you the purpose of life. We're going to discover the purpose of life. We're going to have an hour show. And they'd take a commercial break. She would come on the screen and say, now come back, because when we get back, we're going to talk about this purpose of life. But at the end of the show, when the credits were running and the show was all over with, Oprah came on the screen and says, remember, you just got to figure it out for yourself. That's the mystical approach. Look into your own life if you're going to somehow find it within yourself. Then there's the physiological approach, you know. Philosophy. The one course that I hated in college, worse than any other course that I had, was philosophy. It's supposed to be, philosophy is love of wisdom. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what all the philosophers are doing? Every one of them are just guessing. They make things up as they go because, you know, it sounds good. Okay, I almost got kicked out of class in philosophy class one day because You know, the professor was arguing about this wasn't the real world we lived in. Perhaps there was a mystical world outside of ourselves, kind of in a fifth dimension out there, and that was the real world. Maybe we were the imitation world. You know, and I'd had about all I could take, you know, and I almost got kicked out of class. We had to write a paper at the end of the year, and thank goodness I had a friend who was the teacher's grader, and, you know, at the end of my paper, he wrote, "Roy, if the professor read this, you'd fail." Okay? But philosophy, folks, doesn't have the answers. It's just guessing. You know, the survivalist comes along and says, the purpose of life is just to stay alive. As long as I stay alive, then it's okay. The naturalist says, well, the purpose of life is just to perpetuate life. We're here to reproduce for biological reasons. Rap artist Ice-T wrote that the only reason we're here is to reproduce, so just chill out and reproduce, you know. Keep the species alive. The hedonist says, you know, the purpose of life is pleasure and fun and party hardy. Just, you know, enjoy yourself. The materialist is what we can get a hold of, the acquisition of things, and the more we have, the better we are. And the problem is that we can die, you know, we can get all the toys in the world, but when we die, you know, we're still dead and all our toys are still here. And there's no real satisfying answers that comes from any of those things. We can try the self-help approach, you know, and through the years I have read hundreds of books, self-help books, and there's good information in some of those books, but you know, I'm tempted to chase a rabbit right here. But we've seen a bunch of stuff going on with Joel Osteen on TV. You know, Joel Osteen's not a gospel preacher, folks. I'm telling you, he's not a gospel preacher. He is a self-help guru, okay? But you can read all the self-help books you want, and they're going to say they're going to help you discover what is life, you know. But most of them, you know what had happened? Most of them, and you read them, good stuff. I still got some of Ogman Dino's books, and he was a self-help guru, and I enjoy his books. I read his books. I reread some of his books, you know, and whatever. But basically, the bottom line of all these self-help gurus is discover your purpose for yourself and then create your own purpose in life and then go for it. Give all you got to make it a success. Believe you can achieve it. Have faith. Figure it out. And get good at it and never give up and just keep on keeping on, you know, and you're going to be able to accomplish it. And you probably, if you do what they tell you, can come successful within this world. Some of that may be good advice, but may even make you successful. But folks, it doesn't help you when it comes to the bottom line, because life is really not about this world. It's about eternity. How's it going to help you in eternity? What did God put us here for? See, the purpose of your life is greater than your own personal fulfillment. It's greater than your happiness. It's greater than your peace of mind. In Colossians 1:16, it says you were created by God for God. You were made, created by Him, and you were created for Him. You were put upon this earth for God's purposes, not our own. And until we understand that, none of it is going to make any sense. We're here because God wanted us here. See, God created us. He created the world. In the beginning was God. And then He began to create the world. He began to speak it into existence. And then on that sixth day, He said, let us make man. And He's talking about man and woman in our own image, after our likeness. And let us give Him power, dominion over all the things in which we have created. God had a purpose in putting us into this world. God never made anything without a purpose. He made everything for a purpose. Every rock has a purpose, a plant, an animal, everything that is here has a purpose. Folks, and if my point is this, God has a purpose for your life. Now that's why he put us here. If your heart's still beating, you're still breathing, and you're still upon this earth, the Bible reveals that there's something he's got in mind for you. Okay? Now we're going to be talking about five specific purposes over the next few weeks. You know, and we're going to do it one at a time. Next Sunday we'll be talking about worship. It's all about God, so what it begins with God, we worship God and honor God first. And then we move to fellowship, and it is about if God created us for himself, then we fellowship with God. But you see, God's purposes in fellowshipping just with him moves beyond that to fellowshipping with his family, which is his church, and other people in Christ, and having a relationship with other people. And then there's discipleship, which means that we grow up to become like God. God created us in this world to become like him and to be like him. He created us in his image after his likeness, and his will was that we be like him, you know, and he gave us the ability to rule. He gave us then ministry, our service, and so we're to be about doing the things in which God wants us to do in this world and ministering to people. And then, of course, there is that mission, which is kind of an umbrella over everything in the sense that God has called us to an evangelistic effort. See, because of sin, when sin came into this world, sin ruined the relationships and the purposes God had for us. And so we have to be restored to a relationship with God to be able to experience those purposes. And therefore, God expects us to be evangelistic. He expects us to be a missionary. He expects us to reach out in missions and to touch people's lives and to draw people into the kingdom of God so that they can be born again and they can be reestablished in their relationship with God, and therefore they can experience and do what God has purposed for us to do within this world. And all of those things are related to each other. So why did God put us in this world? Paul said here in this text that we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he said he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before he ever created the world, he chose us. That was his plan. And here's what he said, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. God chose us to be whole, to be blameless, but in love. See, the focus there is upon the love of God. Why did God put us in this world? He put us here because he wanted to love us. See, if you don't get anything out of what I've said in the next 6 weeks, I hope that God and his Holy Spirit will burn that truth into your heart and your mind. You're here to be loved by God. You're here because God loved you. And God chose to love you before the foundation of the world. God, well, he made you so he could love you. You were created because God wanted to. He wanted us to have a relationship with him so that he could love us. And I think in return that we could love him and live in fellowship and relationship. But he made you in order to love you. Not too long ago, I preached on one Sunday night about some of the situation with Israel and the world events that were going there. And we mentioned as we walked through the book of Isaiah, and somebody asked me something about Israel on the way out. I don't remember who it was or exactly what the question was, but I do remember the answer was pointing them to Deuteronomy. And what was so unique about the nation of Israel is Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, God chose to love you. God chose you not because you were better than anybody else, or God chose you because you were greater than anybody else. You were one of the fewer peoples. But I simply chose you because I loved you. Now, and folks, that is true for us today. God chooses us because He chose us even before He created the world. He chose to say, I'm going to create a people that I can love. And you were created to be loved by God. Now, the second question that grows out of that is not only why I'm here, you're here to be loved by God, but the second question that comes out of that is, well, does my life matter? Does it make any difference? You know? And Isaiah 49:4 says, my work seems so useless and I've spent my strength for nothing and no purpose at all. See, sometimes we go through life feeling as if I'm just existing, just getting by, just day by day. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Life just doesn't make any sense to me, you know. And there's so many people that are living like that. Just a matter of existence, no real significance. I think I've shared the story before. And I saw one on a commercial somewhere the other day where it had one of them little boxes and it had a button on top and you push a button and a hand comes up and reaches over and pushes a button and settles back down in the box. That's all it does. I don't know how much one of them things would cost. If I figure out somebody can make me one, I want one. Because I think it's an illustration of how people live. They get up in the morning, turn the clock on, you know, wakes them up. They get up, go through their routine, go through their day. At the end of the day, they come in, kick off their shoes, or eat supper, they read the paper, do whatever, watch TV, and then they go back to bed and push the button. It's like, you know, pushing the button, getting up, going through the same old routine, no real existence in life. The only thing that disturbs that is some problem comes along that we have to deal with, you know, changes our routine. So, you know, life doesn't make any sense. Doesn't seem to have any significance. In World War II, there was a group of prisoners in a Nazi concentration camp in Hungary. And Allied forces came in and destroyed the factory, the sewage factory in which they worked in, leveled it to the ground. And so the Nazi soldiers took the prisoners out of their cells every day, and they would have them pick up the old bricks and the rubble from the old factory and move it over to a field over here. And the next day they would go to that field and they'd move all those old bricks and rubble back to the next field, back where they originally were. And they did that. They alternated it back and forth. That's all they did. And something strange began to happen to the prisoners. They began to go crazy. Some of them would throw themselves in front of the soldiers in order to try to get shot and killed. Because, you see, they had no purpose. They could see no reason for doing that. It was simply about work. It was simply about existence. It was simply about having something for them to do. And they were accomplishing nothing and doing nothing. Folks, I'll tell you something. You know, until we understand that we need a purpose and we have significance in our lives, life doesn't make sense. Now, we can go through life on several levels. We can go through life on a survival level, and on that level, that's all we really do is just try to survive. We just try to get by. We just try to make things there, barely getting by, just existing, not really living. We can't control circumstances. We just kind of get through them, and we survive the day. But there's a better way to live, and that's success level. And to be honest with you, almost every one of us in here are living on the success level. We've got it better than anybody else in the world, just about. You know, honestly, that's where most of us are. By the world standards, we live comfortably. We're compared to the rest of the world. We're extremely wealthy compared to the rest of the world. We have possessions. We have freedom. We have basically good health. Now, I know that there are exceptions to the good health part and whatever, but basically we've got, you know, the things that can make physical life better and comfortable, you know, we have those things. Problem is, we can get all those things and still don't feel fulfilled. We can be success as far as the definitions of the world is concerned and still have an emptiness inside which is not satisfied, and we're unfulfilled in that relationship. We need to move in our lives beyond the survival level, beyond the success level, and to move what we might call the significance level. That is, you know, we move where we realize and recognize that our life indeed has significance in this world. One of the best books I think I've ever read is Search for Significance by Robert McGee. You know, to learn to live where our life has significance. You know what gives life significance? Robert McGee talks about that. What gives life significance? It's Jesus Christ. It is a relationship with Him. He changes things. He gives us the essence of a reason for our lives to make a difference. It can make a difference because we're connected to God and to this world. We begin to discover that we matter to God. Not only are we loved by God, but God put us here so that we can make a difference. He gave, you know, He said, let us create man in our image after our likeness. Let's give him dominion over the world. Power to rule in my name over the world. Well, that gives us significance. That's what God intends for us. In Isaiah 44:2, he says, I made you and formed you from the womb, and I helped you, and I've chosen you. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, folks, when I read verses like that, it makes a difference to me that God created me. Even from the womb, and he's chosen us, and he helps us, and he loves us. I'll tell you something. God's not playing games with us. He's not hiding himself and leaving it up to us to say, get out there and discover all that you can do. God wants you to know how much you matter to him, how much you care, how much he cares about you, and how much he loves you. He wants you to know the meaning of life, and he wants you to know his purposes. And folks, the Word of God and everything he's done in Jesus Christ has helped you come to that place that you can know him and experience him and live in relationship and fellowship with him. And he has, you know, and once he has made us, then it is an eternal existence that we have. For once we come, once he has made us, he loved us enough to restore us and to save us in and through Jesus Christ, and that makes our life significant to the point that it's going to last throughout all of eternity. Now you think about that for a moment. If all we had was this world, I would dread being here, honestly. There's got to be something beyond just this world. And God's Word teaches us it is. There is an eternity out there, an eternal existence where we're going to know God as we were intended to know God, and we're going to be able to fellowship with God as we were intended to fellowship with Him, and we're going to be able to serve Him throughout eternity the way He intended for us to serve Him through all of eternity. And so, God, you know, our life is significant. It's significant enough that God says it's going to last forever. I love you, and I'm going to love you for all of eternity. And I want you with me forever. I can't even think about describing how wonderful that really is. God says, I love you, and I love you so much that I'm going to give your life some purpose. I'm going to give it some meaning and direction as you live it in relationship with me. And folks, that's not going to end. That's going to last forever and forever and forever. That's how significant you are to me. I'm not going to give up, ever. That's what the Scripture says. This old body we live in is nothing more than a tent which just groans and waiting for the day of redemption where we're going to be set free in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he said God's then going to have us a house made in heaven. That's going to be eternal in existence, a home that he himself has made, which is going to last forever. Lord, I tell you, your life is significant. So why am I alive? We're here to be loved by God. Our life is significant because he gives us purpose and direction and meaning, and he loves us and wants to spend eternity with us. And our life is significant because he's going to enable us to be able to carry out his purposes in the world. But the third question is, then what is my specific purpose? What did God create us for? And that basically is what I'm going to answer over the next 5 weeks. But ultimately, he created us to have a relationship with him. Probably the greatest atheistic philosopher of the last century was Bertrand Russell. He was a great Englishman, but he was an atheist. but he was intellectually honest. And he said this. He said, unless we assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose is irrelevant. Folks, guess what? Life matters. If somebody wants to take life and make it purposeful and meaningful, it can happen as we get tied to God. Life without God has no reason. It has no meaning, no real purpose in life. That's the reason the secular world out there that doesn't know God, that's the reason they can murder millions of babies every year and never think nothing about it and fight that it is abortion right. That's the reason that we can satisfy the moments of pleasure and commit immorality that is almost beyond comprehension, because that's what satisfies for me the moment. They can't see beyond the moment and beyond the world in which we live. Folks, I'm telling you, there's something greater going on, and there is an eternity that we're going to have to spend an eternity with, you know, with, and if we want to spend that eternity with significance, and it's going to have to be spent in relationship with God. We were created for His purposes and His reasons. And the only way we're ever going to be able to get to know the purposes of life is to somehow get connected to God. It's not listening to the philosophers, for the best they can do is guess. It's not looking within, because you can't find it in here. It's not looking in the self-help books, because they basically are telling you create your own purpose and then go for it. You have to look to the Creator and to look to the one who wrote the owner's manual. Folks, it's the only way that you're ever going to have purpose and direction. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Those words hadn't been there, we wouldn't even be discussing the meaning of life, nor the purpose of life. It all starts with God, it all continues with God. And Proverbs 9:10 says, in the knowledge of the Holy Ones is understanding. You can find your purpose when you get to know God. And the more you get to know God, the more you understand His ways, the more wisdom and direction and that you're going to have, and the more meaning and purpose your life's going to have. And the more that we begin to understand what God wills for us, and we begin to obey God and His will, whether we understand it or not, doesn't matter. Whether we feel like doing it or not, doesn't matter. But the more God reveals Himself to us and we begin to see His will and grasp His will for our lives, and we know that God has said, this is what you're supposed to do, I want you to obey me, and we begin to obey Him, and we begin to live for Him, we begin to trust Him, we begin to act in obedience, then life begins to take on greater meaning and greater purpose and greater direction, because we get connected to God. In Romans 11, verse 36 says, it's a part of a doxology that Paul is writing after he's closed out the great theological truths about salvation. In the 11th chapter, he closes that doxology on salvation. Well, I mean, that treatise on salvation with a doxology of praise. And part of that says that from Him, talking about God, from Him and to Him and for Him are all things. New English Bible translates, He's the source, the guide, and the goal of all that is. If you want your life to have purpose, it's going to have to get connected to God, to know Him. It's the only way to know God. Now, folks, let me tell you something. There's only one way to know God. Jesus Himself said, that's the only way I'm going to, you can come, no man can come to the Father except through me. That's what He said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except through me. The first sermon that Peter preached after Pentecost in Acts chapter 4, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You must come to know God only through Jesus Christ. It comes in repentance of your sin, and by faith you receive Jesus Christ as Savior. See, God created us in a perfect state. We rebelled against God and we sinned against God, and our sin separates us from God, and we've got to deal with that sin problem before we can ever discover what life is really all about. For sin has destroyed what God wanted to do in our lives, and it keeps us from knowing God. And the Bible says because of sin we are dead in our sins and trespasses to God. But God being who He is, and God because He loved us so much, He did something about our sin problem. He sent Jesus Christ into the world to go to the cross and to die to take care of our sin problem and to take care of that which separates us away from God so that we could have a relationship with God again and He could restore us unto that place where we need to be in our relationship with Him, and we could be restored to the purposes for which He created us. But we have to turn from our sin and to come to the place to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We come to Him and say, Jesus, You're Lord. And then as a Christian, once we've made that decision, I believe we ought to live under His Lordship. And when God reveals something as His will and His word, then we need to be obedient. It's not about how I feel or how life treated me or what's going on in all of my life. Folks, it's about God. Life is about God. It's not about you. But your greatest fulfillment and your greatest purpose is when you become obedient to God. That's when you begin to discover what life is really about. And it'll bring you the greatest joy and the greatest peace and the greatest happiness. But it primarily is about you getting right with God. And that's what I ask you to do this morning. If you're here without Christ, you need to know God. You need to come and to say, I repent of my sins. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. We'll pray with you. We'll help you make that decision. You need to be certain of that. It don't matter if you've been a member of the church, been baptized 100 times. It don't make any difference, folks. All those things, now they're important. But the main thing is for you to know God. And you can't know God any other way except through repentance and faith. Now, once you know God, then there's some things you ought to do. You ought to be a part of His church. You ought to be baptized because He told us to follow Him in baptism. He has all authority in heaven and earth given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples and baptize them, He said. You know, so then, that becomes a part of the church. You need to be involved in ministry and service and involved in doing what God's called us to do in the church. You know, we need to be obedient to Him in our lifestyle. In how we act and how we live and what's going on in our lives. There's things in our lives that we need to confess and surrender and say, I'm going to give them to God. I'm going to let Him be Lord. Your life's never going to have its full purpose and direction and meaning until you do that, until you deal with the things that keeps you from being in the center of God's will for your life. So I ask you today, as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, that you would do what God asks you to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We're thankful that You're a God who loves us. That is a thought which really just kind of overwhelms us, that You created us to love us, and You've given us purpose and meaning and direction. And Father, we have sinned against You, and we've rebelled against You, and we've been so wicked in our lives. We ask Your forgiveness, and we ask that through the power of Your Holy Spirit, You'll help us to stop trying to do it our way and to trust You and do it Your way. Father, draw us to the place that we'll turn from our sin and put our faith in Your Son Jesus and be restored then to the purposes of which You created us. One here without Christ today, we pray that they'll be saved. We'll pray that You'll open their heart. Those who need to be a part of this church, Father, we pray that You will touch their lives and draw them to that place where they'll be obedient. For Christians who need to get some things straightened out in their lives because they know they're not living right for You, we pray that Your Holy Spirit will draw them. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.